Blog Talk Radio.
Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A. Over at Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing on this fine evening here in the Twin Cities?
It is a beautiful evening here in the Twin Cities, Mr. Allen, from Minneapolis, St. Paul. We are doing our part of the broadcast from the Target Center in downtown Minneapolis, where the Minnesota Lynx are playing the Los Angeles Sparkles, if you will. Tight game, interesting game. A lot of news, Mr. Allen, around the country. What do you want to kick off? Phone lines always open, by the way.
Yeah, phone lines open. I think that we should talk about the Cincinnati incident, what's going on in Cincinnati right now with the officer being arrested for shooting the driver. Go ahead.
Yes, a Samuel DeBose. Mr. DeBose shot once at point-blank range through the head. We made mention of it on last week's program. At that point, it was about it had been about 3 days, prior, if you will. Certainly, prosecutor, I think taking lead from the outstanding job done by Carol Mosley in Baltimore, showing mm-hmm. that a prosecutor can move quickly and decisively if that's what they decide to do. To gather the evidence, bring it before a grand jury, and get an indictment, pure and simple. And this officer is looking at murder in the first degree, which could be in the state of Ohio, find himself spending the rest of his life. There is also a second officer, I think it's Officer Fry, who had aided and abetted in this murder by falsifying police reports. So there's some heavy things going on with regards to this, but one has to, Mr. Allen, one has to give proper respect and et cetera to the prosecutor for doing his job and the grand jury,
Yeah.
As the sister of Mr. Du Bois said, that most of the time, people don't listen, don't pay any attention to the evidence. I think I agree with you, sir, that the evidence, that video, frightening, if you will, but overwhelming evidence. I would say that as a long-time monitor for the federal government of these kinds of situations. And so, that's all that we can say.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Now there's a poll being put up from the Cincinnati Inquirer on cincinnati.com, the newspaper there, and they're asking the question, should the University of Cincinnati police force be disbanded? And so far, as it stands right now at 8:33 Central Standard Time, that's 45% in favor, 41% says no. So there's some drastic things going on.
And about 9% undecided. We had an opportunity to watch the press conference involving city officials as well as the president, President Ono, Asian American, if you will. The officer, by the way, has been terminated. Was terminated early this morning, immediately, which mm-hmm. I think is a good move in keeping tensions down. I'm not sure that the University of Cincinnati will disband their police department because there are kind of different responsibilities. If you were talking about the city police coming in and trying to police the campuses, there are, I think, three separate campuses at the University of Cincinnati. And so I'm not sure, Ms. Allen, that they will disband, but obviously there's going to be a requirement for much more intense our training and evaluation, psychological testing, and et cetera. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
In some regards, maybe you can't ask for more than that because the university must protect its students and its property,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. But that's an interesting poll, 45-41, and basically 9% undecided. Very interesting.
Yes, exactly. And the Hamilton County prosecutor, Joe Dieter, said he will prosecute the police officer himself if he has to. So
oh, that's right.
That
he's
on,
talking, okay, he's talking about taking that on. Yes, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very angry. He cleared that he was extremely angry this afternoon at the press conference, which took place at approximately 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Daylight Time there in Cincinnati. It is also embarrassing, Mr. Allen, I have to tell you, as a federal monitor, that it is embarrassing to law enforcement, wherever they may be, to see this. But you and I, as African Americans and others, have been saying that these things exist. And, you know, our foreparents and et cetera were saying this, you know, before we were born. But the technology, which you emphasize quite a bit in your role as a computer person and a blogger and et cetera, that the technology has kind of caught up to the treachery and the lying and the conspiracy, because clearly this
yeah.
is a case that reeks of conspiracy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%. And so it's nice. I mean, it's unfortunate the guy had to lose his life, but, you know, we have evidence, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt that this guy shot an African-American man, a black man, sitting in his car for absolutely
unarmed,
no reason.
Unarmed. Be sure. Unarmed.
Unarmed.
Yeah. Representing no threat, really. It was kind of interesting the way the officer set him up, where he told him he wanted him to take off his the safety belt, and then started opening the door. And of course, the Bubba made a mistake in the context that he put his hand on the door and said, "Why? I mean, why are you?" And at that point, the officer drew his weapon, and it was just cold blooded, Mr. Allen. It was for those that maybe don't have the experience that let's say that I do. It was chilling and frightening. Unfortunately, I've seen too many of these videos. I've been involved in too many of the investigations. You know, I've seen black men with the top of their heads blown off after a shotgun was put to the back of their ear a number of years ago. It's a horrible, horrible situation to see the top of a person's head blown off. But still, it still becomes an emotional situation when you see it. And it was so cold-blooded, you know. I just don't know what was in the officer's mind as he made that decision to pull that trigger. I mean, there was really no level of confrontation other than the officer being clever by trying to provoke, as happened in Texas with the young African-American sister, Miss Blonde, who was just put to rest in Chicago a couple of days ago, trying to provoke, trying to do a what we call in the business of monitoring, the verbal assault, if you will, on you to do certain things, to provoke you, and et cetera. And I think many of us in the African-American community have suffered through that. It's not something we read about in a book. You know,
yeah.
I can remember far too many occasions as a younger black man seeing that kind of, you know, challenge, if you will, attempting to provoke you. Even today, you see so many Caucasians will do that when they know that they have angered you, and then they will say things like, "Are you having a good day? You know, you seem to be upset.
Yeah.
You seem to have an attitude." And that's one of the things that happened with Mr. DeBose. He was being referred to until that video came out as a guy who was a thug in his community. And, you know, that's...
Mm.
That's really outrageous. There's a lot of apologies that that need to be issued. But give us the phone line, Mr. Allen. Again, I'm reporting from
sure.
Target Center in downtown Minneapolis, where the Minnesota Lynx and the Los Angeles Sharks are in a tight ball game.
Yeah, that number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904. And the phone lines are wide open. Mr. Edwards, while I'm looking for this, I'd like to say that the lurking law that was just abandoned by the or didn't get voted on in the city council, got voted on but lost in the city council, about a month ago now?
Yes, sir.
That was very interesting in the Minneapolis City Council, what I'm talking about. Andrew Johnson, councilman, has now put forth a hat law that he's going to try to get passed through the city council, that you cannot wear your hat, do-rags, or scarves in public places downtown Minneapolis, as in bars, theaters, restaurants, and et cetera. And so the hearing for that, if I'm not mistaken, is on August 9th. I think people should be down there at City Hall to...
Mr. Adams, let me ask this question again as a person that has served as a federal monitor and been involved in litigation. What do you do about those people who are primarily people of color who wear head guard and et cetera in all circumstances because of their religion, such as Sikhs?
Yeah,
the first one that comes to mind. Yes. And by the way, what would you do with an Orthodox Jew who would come into your cafe with his skull cap on? Would he be required to remove it?
Yeah, that's what I was reading it, and a gentleman that we had on our show a couple of times, Chuck Turchik, who was on our show with Michelle Gross a couple of times, sent me the email, and it says, now that City Council has repealed the lurking ordinance and the spitting ordinance, Councilmember Andrew Johnson is going for the hat trick. He just sent me this, Mr. Harris, so he must be listening. He wants to repeal the ordinance prohibiting the wearing of hats or any headgear in theaters, auditoriums, and places of amusement. A public hearing is actually set for August 12th. It's not the 9th, it's August 12th.
Okay. I'm a little puzzled because it sounds like almost the reverse because, I've seen people wearing head garb and et cetera. I don't know the last time that I've ever heard of anybody telling anybody to remove a garment from their head and et cetera. And, you know, there's a certain gender bias all the way across the board because, I've never seen anybody tell a lady to remove her hat in a cafe or any kind of other indoor activity. Have you?
No, never, never. And this is going to run into a whole bunch of problems because this is a straight-up attack on not just, it's a thing to focus on people of color because the comments that he's getting on this is like, oh, great. I'll be now, and he says, now I'll be able to tell, these thugs with the do-rags when they take them off. I'll be able to pinpoint because their hair won't be combed. That's the kind of feedback that this guy is getting from telling what this city council, the city council is planning on doing.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I wonder where the term do-rag came from because I don't remember anybody talking about do-rags. You know what I mean? That seems to be a modern-day urban thing, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it was nutty. I can't believe that, they're even trying to do anything like that because it doesn't make any sense.
I'm just not quite sure. But there are a whole lot of other things they could do, like, maybe the councilman and the council can start dealing with some of the problems of city projects and et cetera that don't have any black people working on them. Oops,
That compliance,
because,
that compliance issue.
I mean, I'd like to see some legislative and councilmatic discussions about how the city dealing with all these projects that I see going on out here and which are being funded with taxpayer dollars, federal dollars, state dollars, clear that African Americans are not wanted, need not apply, which certainly is a prohibition against Black Lives Should Matter and Get Better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
100%.
You know, we're not in the seat of power. I would expect that something like that would be certainly driven by the NAACP and then the Urban League, if you will, and civil rights activists and et cetera. You know, I just think there's a whole lot of other things that that we could be tasking. Is that the right word, tasking?
Yeah, tasking. Yes, tasking. There's a lot of other things that we can be tasking, you know, rather than photo ops in Philadelphia at the annual NAACP convention. Philadelphia, the annual NAACP convention just recently happened.
Yes.
A lot of photo opportunities, Mr. Edwards, up online. I don't know if there's been a report through Minneapolis NAACP, and I know the secretary doesn't have anything new, so that's pretty interesting.
Well, I know that they, I think, had their executive committee meeting last night somewhere in the city. They're having a function, by the way, on August 6th at the Kolb restaurant. Oh, luxurious star there overlooking Lake Wayzata and et cetera. They are, I guess, about 369 guests. Have been invited, many of them apparently attached to the Black Journalism Conference that's taking place. And, man, you can have top of the line filet mignon, $43 a cut, porterhouse, $41, shrimp, lobster, $36, $37. So
wow.
I don't know if they're raising money for the NAACP. I know they didn't have a lot of money going out to Philadelphia, but I understand they really enjoyed themselves. So I've been looking forward to a report and update. And I've also been interested in if the NAACP and Black Lives Matter are going to comment on the, you know, we had an officer-involved shooting here in downtown Minneapolis this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen anything. They would ask you, was there any kind of press release or anything that we must have missed in the last 5 days?
No, I haven't seen anything, Mr. Edwards. I haven't seen a damn thing from anywhere. So I don't know what these people are doing. I mean, there's enough stuff going on in this town to pay attention to. And I don't think that they're interested in anything that's happening here that might involve someone getting their hands dirty. I mean, I haven't seen it.
Well, I was looking at some video of apparently Black Lives Matter had a convention or a conference. I know they had a demonstration in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
And were pepper sprayed and tear gassed by Cleveland police and et cetera. I'm not sure what that was all about, though. We certainly are continuing to follow closely the death of a 12-year-old African-American child at the hands of Cleveland police. But apparently they were battling in the streets in Cleveland. You know, maybe some of those that listen to us in the queue, phone and give us a call and give us maybe a little bit more detail.
We do have a call. We do have a call.
All right, let's get the caller in. Yes, sir. All
caller,
right.
Who's calling? You're live on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling from Missouri.
Hey,
and I just had a question about I know you had some incidents with some shootings lately, and then I guess one on Saturday or early Saturday morning where I guess there was an officer-involved shooting or something, I believe, in Danville.
Well, yes, we did, sir. We had an African-American shot and wounded by the police right almost in the heart of downtown early Saturday morning. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, was this did the white officer, I guess it was a white officer that was shot an African American, or was it a white officer?
Well, no, actually the officer that shot the young man was an African American officer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
African American officer who actually had 3 prior shootings but has been exonerated in all 3 of them, but yeah, you're the first person caller that, of course, you're in a different kind of enclave in Missouri, but
yeah.
You're the first person I've heard ask anything about the race of the officer, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, and by the way, let me just say this, sir, glad you're on. This comes at an interesting time because a white gunman who shot and killed an African-American outside of a convenience store a week ago was arrested this morning, Mr. Allen. And then the gunman in the shooting death of an African-American and a Mexican in PB Park, which is on the south side of our city, sir, was also arrested this morning. We've had a lot of shootings, to your question. Uh-huh. We've had a lot of shootings here.
Okay. And I also had another question about the, I guess, NAACP and Black Lives Matter and some of these organizations. Do they have any, like, oversight at all in these organizations? Because I'm kind of wondering what they're doing exactly, because are they actually doing anything with any of these situations that are going on? Or?
Not here. No. No. They've not addressed the officer-involved shooting here, which is the first one we've had here in the city. We did have a white female officer shot and killed a Caucasian in one of our suburbs a couple hours before the shooting in downtown Minneapolis in an Arby's, in fact. Man who was actually had called the police asking for help because he felt he was having a mental health crisis that was conveyed to the officer from a suburb called Plymouth, Minnesota. Situation fell apart. He was shot through the head and killed.
But to your
question, sir, about Black Lives Matter and the NAACP, we did have a situation in which the NAACP and Black Lives Matter expressed concern about a young African American that didn't pay a fare of $1.75 to ride the light rail and apparently was kind of roughed up by the police. But to your specific question, Mr. Allen and I have been asking. Mr. Allen is a member, though. I got to be transparent. Mr. Allen is a member of the NAACP. I am not.
Oh, okay.
I know Mr. Allen has been asking questions. Mr. Allen, could you step in here with us? Have you gotten any kind of response, and have you seen the plan to deal with police community safety and et cetera?
I have seen no plans at all whatsoever, caller and Mr. Edwards, and I don't think that the process is going to be to deal with it the way that, you know, we would think would be the right way. I think their targets are City Council President Barb Johnson in Minneapolis and the police chief to kind of move them around and harass them and other, you know, rather than taking a stand for the number of shootings and finding out. I mean, you know, a 10-year-old will know in North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis that, you know, folks need jobs, there needs to be economic development, there needs to be a good education system, you know, for the folks in living in that, they call it a blighted area because it was one of the many empowerment zones designated by the federal government that receives funding still to this day throughout, you know, for many years. Maybe not under the name empowerment zone, but they still get money. So it's, I don't know. To answer your question, back to your point, they're not. I don't see them doing anything worthwhile. And no, they have not sent out a plan that I've seen.
Okay. Well, thank you. I was just kind of curious about what was going on. So, thank you very much.
I'm certainly glad, sir, that you raised the question about the officer-involved shooting because I've been kind of puzzled on why there's not been an utterance from Black Lives Matter or the NAACP or the Urban League, you know. Nobody seemed to say anything. They've not asked any questions about the circumstances. Appreciate you calling. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Mr. Allen, go right ahead. What else do we have here? I know many were not aware, by the way, that the officer who shot the young African-American was himself black. I would assume that could create a problem. This officer is a 7-year veteran of the department, and as I said, this is this will actually be his fourth officer-involved shooting, and he's been cleared on all four of them. So, and for some reason, the paper hasn't talked about it, and the separatists, just as they have not talked about the fact that that a white gunman shot and killed a young African-American in North Minneapolis about 10 days ago. You were not even aware of that, were you, Mr. Allen?
No, I was not. I was not.
Decision was made by the Star Tribune and the authorities to keep it very low-key. I asked the question, why? You know what I mean? Particularly in light of the attempt to make it appear that a black neighbor of the white activist that was brutally murdered here in Minneapolis is the prime suspect, which is not true. And I repeat that again, that the young African-American who lives on that same block is not a prime suspect per se. But the police department has been under pressure to identify that person as a prime suspect, which would certainly increase racial tensions in our city, particularly given who the victim was per se, a white community activist in her community, and the gruesome, and violent action as it pertains to her death. So, you know, again, phone lines are open.
Yes, they are. They are. The phone lines are wide open. That number again, 347-426-3904, 347-426-3904. Wide open. Yeah, there's some craziness, just some craziness going on. And I was very curious, you know, Mr. Edwards, next week, over the weekend here, we have the National Association of Black Journalists hitting the town, filling up all the hotels in downtown Minneapolis. And I have.
Is it true, Mr. Allen, that the Hilton is sold out? Is that true, the Hilton?
It
is
sold out.
Absolutely
one of the
out?
Biggest and nicest
wow.
hotels. It's sold out. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so I called the headquarters and I asked them, I said, well, what black businesses will you be using?
Uh-huh.
Or will you patronize? And I still have not gotten an answer. So I've been beating them up a little bit on Twitter and a couple other social media sites and just, you know, wondering, you know, what the hell is going on? You know, and this happens too much here where these people come to town and they're not obligated to do anything within the African-American community.
Now, is this the conference, of course, or John Lennon of CNN is going to be a speaker on, I think it's, what, the 7th of August in the afternoon session? Don Lennon's going to tell us about Ferguson and Cincinnati and whatever. Is that the same Don Lennon of CNN that I see on the roster? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is it any panel that talks about police community relations here in the whole city? Or is that something that agreement was made wouldn't be talked about?
There must be agreement because they're certainly not talking anything about anything local here. And so we're going to have to see because I do plan on going down there. I did register. I was going to skip it and boycott it, but I think I'd go down there and tap people on the shoulder with a video camera asking them the question. You know, how come the conference
okay.
is not dealing with any black businesses?
Okay. I can repeat the question again. Is there any workshop that deals with the local situation here, or is that not important?
I have not seen any. I have not seen any, Mr. Edwards. I have not seen any. I thought this would be a great opportunity for them to come in and deal with some of the local issues here that we have. And I have not seen anything.
Okay. So
I'm actually getting a text from someone, and they were shocked. And I was just hopefully though you can call in too. I know you're listening. You can stop texting and call in, but I think this is important. That's why I'm just going to go ahead and talk to you about it. And, you know, you just stated that in Minneapolis about 10 days ago, a white male, and he was not law enforcement, was he?
He was a homie, if you will, affiliated with certain white entities and gunned the young African-American down without provocation outside of a convenience store right there along, 3400 block or thereabouts on Lindale Avenue North, which is the main thoroughfare here in our city. Yeah. I was a little surprised. I was under an obligation, though, not to say anything up to a particular point until the arrest had been made. And to the credit of the MPD, and particularly the homicide unit, that arrest was made this morning as well, and I repeat again, as well as the arrest of the two young men at Peavey Park on Chicago and Franklin, one a Kenyan slash individual from Somalia, or Somalian, and the other was a Latino Mexican slave, you know. So, but one was didn't want a lot of discussion. This is not the first time. And here, let me just say this, Mr. Allen. One of the things that has been under discussion, basically led by Sheriff Richard Stanek, the chief law enforcement officer for Hennepin County, in which the city of Minneapolis is located, and city is the county seat, quote unquote, is the abundance of heroin that is being brought in by the Mexican cartel, primarily through Chicago, has led to a significant battle between the five largest black gangs here in the Twin Cities, where they're killing each other under the orders of the Mexican cartels as it pertains to territorial rights and et cetera. And one of the discussions that's been going on is why people are basically being prohibited from talking about this this very dangerous situation that is taking place. And, you know, I'm just not sure why it is that we feel that we can't address it. There was supposed to be a meeting Monday, the 27th, at Shiloh, in which community meeting, in which people would be encouraged to come forward, talk in terms of what was happening, the conditions of what was happening, and et cetera. It didn't happen, and, you know, since then, we've had two homicides and six or seven shootings, and we don't even count the stabbings anymore.
Wow.
So, like I said, that, you know, that phone line is open. You know.
And we do have a caller. We have a caller live on the air. Caller, you
are. Let's get him.
How y'all doing tonight,
gentlemen? Live on air. Hey, doing great. How are you, Mr. Nelson?
Good, good, good. You know, gentlemen, I think I really appreciate gentlemen like yourselves and other active members of the community that decide that want to keep number one, hold the feet to the fires of our leaders, elected or otherwise, when we're dealing with homicides and different type of inappropriate behaviors that are happening in our community. I'm with you, Mr. Edwards. It's so bewildering, the fact that these murders are happening to our neighbors, to community folks that we know, and no one is talking about it, okay? Look, it's become a bit redundant, and I hope this isn't the new norm, that we are just accepting shootings in our communities and have become immune to it. What has to happen is, number one, we have to be working hand in hand with the mayor, and I don't know how she or any other police officer think that they can come up with initiatives to curb the violence in our community and not involve anyone in the community. You have to have community members. You have to have their advice, their input on eradicating crimes in our neighborhood. Number one, we're broke, so that begets violence. Some of these idiots are just plain idiots. Let's just admit that. But for the most part, the violence, I believe, is brought on by a lot of poverty that's happening in our neighborhood. You drive through North Minneapolis, you see how beautiful North Minneapolis is becoming. But when you look at the gentlemen that are in those turquoise jackets, you don't see many blacks, Asians, Indian, or any other minority. You see all white folks. So how can our community continue to be built up and money be made on our backs and we not be a part of the process. So, again, that's going to continue to incite violence because where are these young men, what's the avenue to go to? We can't continue to build YMCAs and other gymnasiums and treat us like monkeys and say, well, here you go. You know, it's ridiculous. We need jobs. And I remember, I'm 37, but I can remember being 17 and to the age of 21, having community jobs that paid you $8 an hour. It kept you off of the streets. That's no longer happening. And, I'm at the risk of bashing the NAACP president, I look at her because where is she at on any of this? I have not heard from her. I've heard from Spike Moss. I've heard from McAfee. I've heard from Bobby Joe. Where is our beloved NAACP president speaking on eradicating these? I mean, isn't this the woman that has, what's the name of her little thing, Brothers Inc. or something to that effect?
She has an organization. She has an organization called the Brotherhood, which is affiliated and operates out of St. Paul, where a lot of the monies that she and members of her family receive to deal with the youth problem, those monies are funded through St. Paul. And in fact, maybe that's one of the reasons why they did not demonstrate in front of the Met Council and the headquarters of the Metropolitan Transit Authority Police under the direction of Chief John Harrington. You know, maybe don't want to rock the boat in the city where you're getting your funding. I don't know. It's difficult to explain. By the way, Mr. Nelson, Mr. Allen, I want to take this opportunity to indicate that there will be a real, landfall, if you will, that will be achieved, the landfall of economic prosperity, and et cetera, according to what is being said by the Sports Facility Authority, Alex Gibble and others. Louis King, our good friend Louis King, has acquired, apparently to a number of reliable sources, has acquired a franchise in the new Viking Stadium and is currently training personnel with a temporary concession stand at the TCF Stadium and the opening of Gopher and Viking football. And so we've been, Mr. Allen and I have kind of been asking the question to ourselves, is that how was, recruitment done? How were the people brought in who have been in training at TCF Stadium and then will be moved into the permanent concession operation? One concession stand, as I understand it, which is all under the control of the Minnesota Vikings itself, could bring you as much as $250,000 of profit each season. So there again is an opportunity, but we're hearing that we shouldn't talk about it, that it's something that should be kept secret, and I'm not understanding what that means.
Well, it means you have to go alone to get along. And again, enough of that BS. You know, we've got to quit allowing some of these leaders, so-called leaders, to quit robbing our community too. I'm not at the risk of not sounding like our beloved president of the NAACP. Because I believe in due process. But on the other hand, when you have leaders that are doing things like this, these type of shenanigans have to be absolutely, absolutely above water, okay? There has to be complete transparency. And I don't think a lot of these brothers understand what that means because they keep all they see is green. If you claim you care about your community, and then a way to give back is when you are getting these allocations of funds, the way to give back is to provide a job for your brother in the community. And it's just so ridiculous that we have had, 30 shootings in the last 20 days. And, again, I have yet to see Ms. Levy Pounds' face on the – but then again, if you ask about the renaming of a lake, then look for her. She'll have her face all in the place. Okay. But when you ask her about the eradication of drug crime, yes, sir.
All right. Well, let me just say this for absolute clarification. We've had actually over 100 shootings since the first of the year. We need to understand that we are now technically, because there is an additional homicide of a baby, really, in a situation that happened. They're waiting for final toxicity, toxic tests, and et cetera. A baby, an 8-month-old baby, killed by one of their, you know, caregivers, parents. That actually brings the total homicide, as of we talk right now, because we have no idea what will happen in the next 20 minutes. But we have 30 homicides, which is 18 over what we had at this corresponding time, same time, last year. So we're on pace to have at least 55 to 60 homicides in the city of Minneapolis by the end of the year. And we hear an allegation being made by the president of the Police Federation that the Hodges administration has really not been pressing to put the full complement of 860 police officers on the street. And that's troubling, because I'm very much aware of what's really happening down there with recruitment and et cetera. And if we put 71 new officers on the street by the end of the year, there will probably only be, at best, 3 African-Americans that will be in
right.
that, in that new class. Only three African-Americans,
right.
at best. So, you know, I appreciate what you have said, sir, because Mr. Allen and I are of a position and persuasion, and I know Mr. Allen is getting a lot of text messages right now by a lot of people that got a lot to say, but they don't want to stand up and say it. That we just don't seem to care. What you just said a little while ago that did not miss my ears, that we just don't seem to care about the danger and the violence and et cetera that is facing our young people. And I just don't know what to say. And I know that we are not prepared to take on the Mexican cartel, which are driving a lot of drugs, particularly heroin. And I have to say, so that, you know, we don't get into the thing about, you know, the white folks ain't saying nothing, is that Sheriff Richard Stanek, for the last 2 summers, has really been pounding the fact that this is happening. But we can't get any coordinated effort from the organizational leaders. And I just don't know what to say, you know. And by the way, the spikes that are coming with regards to drug overdoses, that's another secret in our community, the number of African-Americans that are dying of heroin overdoses, if you will. See, we've been told we shouldn't talk about that either. So. All right, Brother Nelson, anything else?
Yeah, I would say
this. You got anything for Brother Nelson?
Oh, no, I'm just listening. I'm glad he's on fault. So.
I would say this, and I'll hang up, gentlemen. The fact is, this is why I press upon Ms. Levy Pounds I want to see her working with the mayor and things of that nature. Because, again, if the mayor is beholden to her husband and the things that he's doing, then that's why she needs to call things like that out. And she'll have the support, I know, of you two gentlemen and of course, myself and many members of the community, if she's calling out what the mayor isn't doing. But she's not holding the mayor's feet to the fire, and she's not working with the mayor. So she is just as much to blame as the mayor's inaction. So before I go to bashing the mayor, there's a lot of culpability that has to be had by, you know, our NLEC president, who doesn't even have an office in Minneapolis, by the way. But I'll digress. It's just that it, in order to eradicate any of this, she has to work hand-in-hand with those, and believe it or not, she has to work hand in hand with white folks. I know she proclaimed, and other folks in her Black Lives Matter group say that they don't like working with white folks, but you have to work with white folks. They are members of our community. So until she works with the mayor,
Brother Nelson, I have to interrupt you on that. I'm not quite understanding that, because they had a rally at MOA, that's the Mall of America, just last week. And basically, all of the people that showed up, about 75 in total, 50 members of the clergy, basically all white, and 25, quote-unquote, protesters, all white, basically. So I'm not understanding that. And, you know, she, on May 2nd, during her election, she had a tremendous amount of white support
Yes, she did.
Put her over the top, if you will, as the new incoming president of the NAACP. So anybody that says that she does not work with Caucasians is just, it's a pipe dream, or they're just playing a game. And in fact, you know, the majority of her colleagues, more than the majority of her colleagues at St. Thomas University, even in the law department, quote unquote, are Caucasian. So she, you know, I think she's well adapted at being able to work with the Caucasian or slash white population, if you will. So that's why I was hoping that, given their blessing, if you will, on May 2nd, that they would be helping to put maximum pressure on the city council and white public officials and et cetera to deal with this problem of, I mean, the violence is out of control. I'm going to tell you that.
Yes, it is.
And with full knowledge, it's out of control, and people just don't have a clue what they're going
to
do.
No,
and
we
a lot
need
of folks
to work
don't
together.
Like to talk about the drug problem. I don't. I'm kind of being facetious. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why they don't talk in terms of all the dope, heroin and crack and et cetera that is in the African-American community, as well as prescription drugs, if you will.
That's right.
Appreciate it, Brother Nelson.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. Keep up the good work.
Feel free to get back to us again. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Mr. Allen, what we got? I know they were texting you. I know the text messages were coming in.
We have someone from the Star Tribune.
Give me the phone number. We're asking for our community to speak up.
Yeah, 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Phone lines are wide open.
I would certainly like to hear from some of the proposers for that concession at TCF Stadium, and then next year at the Vikings. That is quite a coup. Maybe some of the folks that initially bid on it would feel free to give us a call. If not, you know, we certainly invite our friend, if he's in the city, Louis King, to talk to us about, you know, his plans for the future and the concession business, because, you know, the word is certainly out, and certainly Mr. Tittle, who for some reason or another, Mr. Allen, we can't get on this program. He goes on other programs where I guess they don't ask him the real tough questions. But, you know, we invite Mr. Tittle to join us right now. We know he's listening in. And just kind of update us on what is one of the major MBE operations, if you will, in the future of the Viking Stadium, MBE being Minority Business Enterprises. I mean, that was quite a coup by Brother Louis King. To get that contract and to convince the Viking owners, Wolf and Mark Will, to give that piece of the pie up, because this time last year, if I remember correctly, Mr. Allen, the Wolves were saying they weren't going to share any of the concession pieces, and nobody could make them because they had a well, they were grandfathered in. The legislature saw to that. So the phone lines are open, you know. I mean, just a significant breakthrough at the Viking Stadium. I mean, a concession stand. I don't know what kind of food they will have. Maybe it'll be soul food, you know, barbecue, stuff like that, ethnic or cultural dishes, if you will. But it's quite clear that a prominent African-American has gotten his foot all the way in the door. Am I correct, Mr. Allen?
You are correct.
Okay.
Most definitely.
And like I said,
phone
lines are open. Get that number off again, brother. So, you know, phone lines are open. We've got another, oh, my God, we've got another, what, Mr. Allen, 40-some minutes?
No, we're going to have an hour tonight, so we're out until 9:30.
Oh, we're just going an hour. Okay. Well,
yes,
then we only have about 14 minutes. Phone lines are still open.
14 minutes, yeah. 347-426-3904. And that phone lines are wide open. Again, the number is 347-426-3904. Yeah, we got a lot of meetings going on, Mr. Edwards. A lot of meetings
over north and south side, and
I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, let's do this because we don't want to waste a precious second.
Yeah.
We are hearing that a series of meetings have been taking place. A group affiliated apparently with the NAACP, after their kind of beatdown, are insisting that the Board of Education reconsider removing police officers from the Indianapolis Public Schools. You know, and maybe we can get somebody from the leadership of the NAACP to give us a call and talk to us about it a little bit, what their thinking is, and how do they feel that they'll be able to accomplish a reconsideration motion by the Board of Education. But they are saying that there should be no police in the schools.
They're still riding on that train, huh? I thought they learned their lesson.
No. They just had a meeting the other night, and they invited police from Minneapolis and Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park. Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park didn't show up. Minneapolis says they're puzzled because they have already been, you know, vindicated to the extent of the attacks on them that they shouldn't be in the Minneapolis public schools. You know, right now here in this city, one of the places where we haven't had a significant level of violence has been the public schools. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm just not quite sure what the thinking is. But I know that, you know, there is a plan, and again, these phone lines are open. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have anything to say?
Yeah, we have a text from via Twitter from Nicole Norfleet from the Star and Tribune, who said that she wrote
from
about
Nicole
shooting.
Oh, Norfleet.
From the Star and Tribune.
Yeah, what did Norfleet say? She said, "What? She is the crime reporter
said,
for the Minneapolis Star Tribune."
Yes,
what
yes.
did she say?
She said that she wrote about that shooting, the white man shooting the black man 10 days ago, and that she also wrote about the arrest on yesterday, the 28th. And I see the story.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what she's saying. That's what she's telling me.
Yeah, maybe she could give us the penny and the date that it appeared in the paper, both situations, if you will. It'd be good for us to be able to catalog that and be able to identify it. It's good to hear the crime reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune indicating that they had reported both the racial identity of the gunman and the arrest, which was actually made early this morning. That's great to know. Just if she could tell her detection, just identify time and
yeah,
date. Now, we're not talking about that it would be on their website because, you know, the Star Tribune has a tendency to put stuff on their website. Unfortunately, black people at the bottom of the totem pole as it pertains to cyber access, as you know, Mr. Allen. But it would be good to know the both of those stories. Okay. In fact, we welcome her as a reporter to call in and give us her take also on the whole issue of the drug situation and the role of the Mexican cartels in driving drugs and facilitating drugs in the African American community. Maybe we could. Do we have enough time? Oh, we don't have 6 minutes, but the line is open. I'd like to know if maybe the Star Tribune is going to do a series. I know they have a special investigative team that apparently is working on something dealing with the cartels. Maybe we can look forward to that. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that she's texting you something, just kind of give us a heads up. But the phone line is still open for the next 4.5 minutes.
I sent her. I said, "Jay, you can give us a call. You can give us a call right now. Phone line's wide open." I sent her the phone number, so she got it instantly. Let's see what happens there. I'm looking at the switchboard. We have a few people in the queue, and you and I there. And we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Let's just, you know, have fun turn to sports. Vikings are on the move, if you will. Adrian Peterson is happy once again, and people are not lambasting him and et cetera. Some are saying the Vikings will very well be a playoff contender. Now, the reason I'm telling this to our listening audience, my associate, Mr. Allen, is definitely not a sports fan. I mean, he really don't care. And I just love messing with him, talking about the sports, because he just like, okay. But, the Vikings are on the move. By the way, the Minnesota Lynx won about game ended about 11 and a half minutes ago, Mr. Allen. They won, I think final score was 80-73 or 82-73, depending on that last basket. So Minnesota Lynx, who are being prepped to win another WNBA championship. So, you know, they are pretty loaded, I have to tell you. But anything else, Mr. Allen, that maybe I'm overlooking that
yeah.
you may have had on your agenda that we
yeah, yeah.
need to make
I,
sure
I,
we get out as part of news reports?
Mr. Edwards, you know, I guess you can have dogs in the dog fighting. You could slap a woman, and you can beat a baby with a switch. But don't kill no animals. You know, this Dennis and this lion thing, I think that's gotten really out of hand. The Dennis, Bloomington Dennis, who shot the lion named Chelsea in Africa on a big game hunt. And, you know, they're protesting in front of his dental office, hanging signs on his walls, and just acting nuts. You know, but,
yeah,
you know,
but
we got
Kevin, I have to tell you from the left, you got to understand this whole issue of poaching. You know, he said that that he paid trained guides to do that safari. The only problem was they lured the lion off of the what is called the reserve, that in itself is a breach of Zimbabwe law and et cetera. And then the whole thing of, you know, cheating and the head and then stripping it for its skin, if you will, and et cetera. By the way, it's just been announced about 4 hours ago that Dr. Palmer, who you're talking about, has a prior
yeah.
felony in the state of Wisconsin, for poaching
sure.
And illegally killing a black bear. And also he had to pay out $140,000 in a sexual harassment lawsuit against him by a former employee in 2006. So Dr. Palmer hasn't quite been the good guy that he wanted to portray to everybody. But I don't think he'll be welcome back in Africa, and particularly in Zimbabwe, anytime soon. You know what I'm saying, Donald?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he'll be welcome anytime soon.
I'm just kind of excited,
yeah.
You know, looking at all these people, you know, I should say all these people excited about, you know, him killing a lion. But, you know, you got humans being killed every day. Shot, and there's
yes,
not
yes,
that much,
yes,
especially
yes.
in Minnesota, you know. And
yeah, but
you weren't saying anything.
I have to take umbrage with you because lions are close to extinction. There's only 30,000 lions worldwide. And again, that lion was on a what is called a reserve. The Zimbabwe
mm-hmm.
government runs it, and the purpose is to protect the lion. You know, and you know the way that whole thing went down, because what they said was that $1,000 American to carry out this particular act, and including, and I repeat again, it's a violation of Zimbabwe law to lure an animal off of a reserve. You know, maybe he'll go back to Zimbabwe and face the music. You think he will?
Oh, no. They got a different kind of legal
so.
System. They got a different kind of legal system over there. Yeah, he burnt up.
That's right. Well, Mr. Allen, thanks for time for James Brown to take us home. Appreciate the calls. Hopefully we got a lot of Pacific information out there, if you will. That's what this is all about, information. And I'm really
mm-hmm.
looking forward to, you know, some kind of expression of concern about all this violence, you know, in our community where so many African-Americans, male and female, young, old, are the victims. You know, hopefully our community will address that, I hope.
Yep, we hope. We'd like to thank everybody for listening tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, and thank you.
It's you and you bone. Just as you, as it takes you eyes to make a pair.